The family of a local teenager says she never would have left home without calling.
It's praying for the best. I want my daughter home, man. And if she can't come home, I just want to know where she's at.
These posters around the towns of Livermore and Jay beg anyone with information to come forward. Posters that Richard puts up every spring, never losing hope.
Tell me what happened to my daughter. Justice, look me in the eyes so I can see her.
An arrest in a nearly four-decade-old cold case. Thanks to cutting-edge DNA technology, the arrest happening exactly 39 years to the day.
When Parabon Nanolabs used that sample to create 3D models of the suspected killer's face.
It's heartbreaking. We miss her, and we're going to find her. We're going to keep looking till we do.
It's like a never-ending nightmare. It doesn't end. It keeps returning and coming back.
What if I told you that a man passed away alone in his house from an apparent drug overdose? Now what if I said he had a long history of fighting with the drug dealers in his community? What if I told you only fentanyl was found in his system despite never being known to use it before? Now what if I said when the family questioned the police on this matter, they were kicked out of the station and told to never return or even call again? Now what if I told you that despite witnesses saying he fell down a flight of stairs and was involved in a fist fight with an unknown person outside his house the night before he died, the coroner did not report any bruising on his body?
So tonight we're joined by Jessica Morrison. She is the sister of Rob Morrison, who died November 23rd, 2019 in Millinocket, Maine, under very suspicious circumstances. Jessica, welcome to Locating Lost.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, welcome.
Oh, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. Are you willing to tell us a little bit about Rob and your connection with Rob?
Yes. Robbie is my older brother. He was a wonderful guy. He was always a loner. He had a lot of friends, don't get me wrong, but he preferred to be alone. He preferred to be out in nature with his dogs. Mm-hmm. As you may remember, he was a commercial fisherman in Alaska and a chef on opposite seasons. He chefed in Florida as well at Captain Charlie's Reef Grill. I don't know if you wanted to know all that. But
yeah, that's fine.
As much info as you're willing to share.
He was just simple. He was just simple. Just a simple guy. A good guy. Hard worker. He was the first licensed medical marijuana caregiver and grower in Millinocket. He was my caregiver for a while. He taught me everything I know about growing marijuana. He pressured me for many years to learn about it and grow and use more natural over pharmaceutical.
Right.
And
now, you had mentioned him being a fisherman, and we were just talking about that earlier, too, and the picture of him holding the king crab
yes.
on the boat. Now, that was taken up in the Bering Sea?
It sure was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he used to send my family.
Love that show.
Yeah, right? He used to send my family king crab and cod and pack it on dry ice and mail it to us. And
Very cool.
That's quite a distance. For work too, to go from like Bering Sea, working in Florida, moving
he
back
traveled
up to
everywhere.
Maine, like that's three out of the four corners of the country right there. I mean, I guess Hawaii would have been the other one, but
right, yeah, he traveled everywhere. He also fished in Massachusetts and chefed as well in like was it Old Orchard Beach maybe? Oh, and mm-hmm. then he got a position in Long Island, New York as well.
Cool.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
You got to see quite a few places then.
He did. He definitely lived a life most would die to live.
Right. I mean, I'm pretty jealous of him. The idea of just fucking off in the woods sounds like a great time. Like just
right?
couple dogs and me. And
he definitely was a survivor. He was a survivor. He knew how to take care of himself. Definitely.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So if you would tell us a little bit about what happened to Rob, how did he pass, And what did the police department say about it?
Okay. Well, I got a call when they found Robbie's body. I guess a gentleman went, Robbie was his grower. One of his clients came to get some marijuana, and Robbie wasn't answering the door, and the dogs were barking. So he called the police to do a welfare check or something, right, to my understanding. And Robbie didn't answer, so they broke the door down. The weirdest thing is Robbie supposedly used the bolt lock. Robbie never used the bolt lock. There's something about him telling my dad that he just never used the bolt lock. The bolt lock, there was something up with it. So he never used it. He just used his regular door lock. The police came. They broke open the door, and Robbie was found there. There was no sight of any drug use at all, anywhere, at all. Like, other than marijuana, because he, right, grew inside as well. He grew out and inside.
Yeah, I would be suspicious if there's no marijuana in the property either.
Right. Oh, well, there's more to that too. I got some of his pot, but I didn't get all of it. It's like he should have had a ton of marijuana, and he should have just did a good harvest, and mm-hmm. yeah, no, there wasn't.
Okay, so with the police, what's their official story from once they broke down the door? What are they claiming?
Well, one officer, told my dad that it looked like Robbie died peacefully, and he was sitting in the chair getting ready to light a joint. When we were actually told differently, that he was sitting on the floor cross-legged and slumped over. That's totally different stories. So that kind of threw my suspicions. Why would you tell my dad something totally different and then report it says, no?
Slumped over, cross-legged versus sitting. I mean, it sounds like it's like, okay, maybe there's not a huge difference, but at the same time, why is the report different? Right. Why is what, right, what's said? Why is there any sort of deviation there? Right.
Right.
Right. And my brother, this is so odd. Okay. Robbie kept it a little bit cooler in the house for the dogs, being Malamutes. They like being outdoors and they like the cold weather.
Right.
So Robbie never kept it too hot in there for them. They found his body with, it says on the examiner's report, he had socks on, he had boxers on. He had a t-shirt because Robbie always, like, old school, that white t-shirt underneath the shirt. So right. He had that t-shirt on, and then he had a long sleeved shirt over the t-shirt. And then he had, it was either one or two sweatshirts
that he was wearing.
Yeah. Where's his pants? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Why would he be inside with two sweatshirts on? He would have roasted. Robbie wasn't, if he was outside, yeah.
Now, you had mentioned that he didn't like having the bolt, or he never used the bolt lock, but it was locked that day when they broke down the door, right? Or broke in the door.
Yes.
Is there another exit in the home?
That's what I really would like to know. They called ACO or whoever to come and get Thor and Luna, and my parents cleaned out his apartment, his house that he was renting the next day. I believe it's two stories. The same house, there was a younger man murdered 2 months later, I believe, 3 months later.
Oh, wow.
The Pelkey, same exact house.
Wow.
2 months
later. Yeah, it was like, yeah, and the people next door, the maintenance man and his girlfriend, yeah, or his girlfriend or something, cleaned Rob's house to get it ready for the next people to rent it. And it was the next murder.
So the maintenance guy lives right beside the house. Was it in an apartment complex or just a house? I guess that it's a weird thing for me is that there is a maintenance guy for the house that lived next door to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that just like a subcontract sort of thing for the guy who owned the house?
I'm guessing whoever owned the house might live somewhere else, and then he pays this person to take care of it. And
like a groundskeeper sort of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Just trying to understand that dynamic.
Yeah, that's my understanding too. And Robbie asked the landlord not to rent to him or not to hire him or something. There was some conversation. It's been so long now. I wish I could remember word for word.
But Robbie wasn't a fan of the maintenance guy either way.
No. No. Now there's talk. I guess now you can imagine how many calls and messages I got because I wasn't on Facebook. Oh, this is another thing. So I wasn't on Facebook for about 6-7 years. But when Robbie was murdered, I joined Facebook again because I knew I'd get some answers. I'd be able to sneak around a little bit and investigate on my own. And so I got so many people contacting me, friends of his and close friends, too, that really knew this, what was going on, people that were with him that day, night before. And I guess Robbie gave them a hard time a lot because he said they were one of the dealers in town. So that's why Robbie fought with them a lot. They didn't get along. And
so did Robbie had a pretty big issue with the town having a lot of dealers in it?
Yeah, he really did.
This isn't marijuana dealers, obviously. This is pills and some of the harder stuff, right?
Yeah, the stuff people are ODing left and right on.
And kids and stuff.
That's
like
what killed
that.
My brother, believe it or not.
Really? So,
let's go back to when he was found. Did they take a body temperature and determine when he became deceased?
They didn't. Boys, to my knowledge, no. I was checking up all of that, how long before rigor mortis sets in and all that stuff.
They didn't give you the time of death, but you do have the medical report.
I do.
What the official cause of death was?
Intoxication. Official cause of death is it was fentanyl and alcohol.
Fentanyl and alcohol.
And straight up and fentanyl.
He's not a hard drug user.
No, he's not an opioid user at all. Not a drug user.
Yeah, he was just marijuana and alcohol, and that was.
Yeah.
And when he was out on the Barents Sea, they do some coke every now and then to keep themselves up, but not a habitual user by any stretch, right?
Right. And you got to understand when finding out all of this, my brain was like, oh my goodness, it was his birthday. When my family, different family members have their birthday, they may not drink for or whatever, party for a year until it's their birthday, and then they kind of overindulge. Kind of like summertime or whatnot, and people overindulge. And I thought, well, geez, my brain went to Robbie might have wanted a little bit of cocaine to celebrate his birthday, you know, for old time's sakes. And got fentanyl. That was just my thinking. Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, and my dad would know this because my dad and Robbie were close. I mean, they were so tight and dad knew of everything he did, good and bad.
Right.
And dad says, there's no way, Jess. Robbie hasn't touched that shit in years. And I said, I'm sorry, but that's just what came to my mind. But you got to remember where I was coming from too. My brain went back to so many years ago. There was no cocaine found in his body. It was pure fentanyl.
But
the cocaine would still be in his body.
Right.
The fentanyl would leave before the cocaine.
And then to say that alcohol played a role in it as well, like if he was dying of an overdose of alcohol, there would be vomiting and everything else. There's none of that, right?
No.
And fentanyl can be, honestly, you can touch
aerosol,
something.
Yeah. It can be put as an aerosol. It can be hot shotted into you. You know, so many different ways you can get fentanyl. Many cops just searching can get a fentanyl overdose.
Yeah.
So how did the fentanyl get in his body? You know.
So
what did the police say? What did the police assume happened? Is it was just an accidental overdose?
Yeah, that he was coke seeking and got fentanyl.
Have you got the police file from them by any chance?
I have.
Are there images of the scene or anything?
No. Thank you.
Why would they?
There is something very important to note here. Jessica told us that her brother contacted her and was in fear for his life about 2 months before he died. He had told her that if something were to happen to him, that a specific individual should be questioned by the police. Also, at her request, we removed parts of this recording and censored others to avoid potential legal repercussions.
After giving my statement to Worcester about former Chief Worcester, I gave him my statement and told him about Robbie calling me and telling me he was fearing for his life if something should happen to him, so-and-so needed to be questioned. And nothing was ever done, and we waited until supposedly there was an investigation. I don't understand. Why is there an investigation? Why was their case even open if you thought he died of natural causes?
So the reason why they looked into it is because it's an unintended death. So no one was there to witness it, allegedly, him passing away. So they do have to treat it as a potential for a homicide. Why was there no pictures taken if that's the case?
Okay, so there were pictures taken, but I'm wondering, I feel like they didn't do a proper investigation of Robbie's home and the circumstances around it. Because Robbie, there was a call into Millinocket PD the night before Robbie's body was found. There was a fight, Robbie and another gentleman in his driveway.
Oh.
Yeah, a physical altercation. Is that when the fentanyl got in his body? I've been told so many different things that happened, but
a known drug dealer as well? Was he?
We don't know who this person was.
Oh.
It was dark. See, this is the thing. It was dark, but according to a statement from someone, so many papers.
So a neighbor saw this fight happening and called police? So what?
Yeah, or there was a ruckus, so somebody called because they heard dogs barking and whatnot, and they witnessed two gentlemen on the ground, one guy in top of the other one getting ready to do him in, but he pulled his hand back, and supposedly they both got up and both walked into Robbie's place. But then I hear also that somebody actually brought him in.
Someone helped him into the house.
Yeah. I've heard that from another person.
And was it so dark they didn't see who was on top of the other one? It was just...
Yeah. It was so dark, but yet they saw the person on top having no shirt on. But Robbie had all these clothes
Robbie
on.
Robbie was fully clothed.
Two sweaters.
No shirt on with a back tattoo. Robbie has a side chest, rib tattoo. He doesn't have a back tattoo.
Right.
There was a brown truck or a black truck. It's like you can pick out all these things, but it was dark and you can't pick out these other things. So I was so confused by all of that.
And was there any injuries to his body at the time notated
they
on
said
the
no.
coroner's report? So no like black eye, no nothing.
No nothing. No signs of drug use. Acute intoxication, combined effects of ethanol and fentanyl, accidental death. Is what they
ethanol.
Put on the yep
alcohol I think is what
yeah
that's what ethanol
that's what they mean.
Or alcohol turns into in your body or something right
is ethanol. right can't help but wonder though how is fentanyl made into an aerosol is it with that ethanol?
Well, yeah how did they not find any did they search the house for any whatsoever?
They said on, would you like me to read Millinocket's report to you? On Saturday, November 23rd, 2019, at approximately 1932, I was dispatched to the residence of Robbie Morrison Jewers. Robbie Jewers Morrison. I call him Robbie Morrison Jewers. for a complaint that Robbie was unresponsive. The Millinocket Fire Department Ambulance Service was also notified. I arrived at Robert's residence and noted that the residence was designated as 308B Penobscot Avenue in Millinocket. you can Google Earth search that and you'll see how that house sits back. I actually do have pictures of that I can send you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
After arriving, I observed Robert Jewers, 11/21/1971, also known as Robert Morrison, on the floor inside the residence next to the door. I told my father he was in the chair. Robert appeared to be sitting with his legs crossed under him, his upper body bent forward at the waist, lying over his legs. Can I just say this real quick? Isn't there a way that you can position a body so that, like, when rigor mortis sets in, it how it causes natural bruising when that starts to happen? I can't help but wonder, is there a way that you can set a body so it cuts, obviously, it's going to cut off the blood supply with him slumped over, and it's going to cause this natural bruising that's going to cover up other bruises. I kind of can't.
It's going to pull towards the bottom, though.
Yeah, right, yeah. So wherever the lowest part of the body is where the blood's going to pool. So if he's on his side, it's going to be on that side that's like touching the ground.
Yeah, I'm just so confused by it all. His upper body bent forward at the waistline. Okay. The door was locked and both of Robert's dogs were inside. I gained entry by force with the assistance of Millinocket Fire Department. Robert was obviously dead, cold and stiff. How rude is that?
Yes.
After it was determined that Robert was deceased, I notified Animal Control Officer to come and get Rob's dogs. The dogs were removed and transported to the Penobscot Valley Humane Society. I spoke to Penobscot Avenue resident. She stated that she had not seen Robert in a couple of days and had nothing to add to this investigation. While the dogs were being removed, the complainant, Stephen Brown, this was a gentleman who Robbie was in, he was one of Robbie's clients for medical marijuana. Where did I go lost? Okay. Stephen Brown came to the scene and explained that Robert was his medical marijuana grower. And when he came to see Robert, he could see Robert through the door, but Robert was unresponsive.
I was gonna ask that because I picked up on that he said he was unresponsive. And I was curious how anyone knew that if they just bang on the door and didn't realize who's there. But thank you, because that explains that he did see him through the door.
Did see him through the door, yep. I keep losing I'm going to put my finger on it next time. Robert. Through the door, but Robert was in. Okay. Stephen was not able to enter Robert's residence because it was locked. Robert's next door neighbor, Stephen Hodge, walked to the scene from his residence located at 298 Penobscot Ave. Stephen reported that he witnessed a small scuffle in Robert's front yard the night before on Friday, November 22nd, between 1900 and 2000. Stephen heard Robert's dogs barking and looked out the window and saw two men, one on the ground and another on top with his fist drawn back. Stephen could not be sure of the men's identity, but was of the opinion that Robert, described as shirtless with a back tattoo, was on top of another man wearing a blue sweatshirt.
What color was Rob with sweatshirts?
Boys, it did not say. And we didn't get any of his clothes back.
Or the photos from the scene.
When I asked former Chief of Police Worcester for photos, he said no.
Just Why? Straight up no, huh?
Straight up, no. I couldn't have photos. I couldn't have anything until he was done with his investigation because things could change. So I couldn't see photos, nothing. My parents didn't need to see him, but I did.
Right. Well, just the scene, like not necessarily even of your brother, but the scene and kind of pick up on things that they may have not realized or missed. And you can certainly request that now, get a FOIA request and into Millinocket PD, and they should be able to release that to you. It's a closed case, according to them, right?
Yeah, I can definitely request those, but I'm telling you, I just don't trust anybody up there anymore. I just don't know who to trust. He ruined my trust the way we were treated in there.
Well,
Oh yeah, go ahead, Travis.
it'll be something else.
The same thing.
It'll be something else on record that you've done a FOIA request, and then you'll have something back from them, either denying it and why was it denied and that type of thing, just to help further your case, you know?
Right. Right. I really should.
What are some of the reasons why you don't trust them, though? You mentioned to us in messages that you had an altercation with them.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's go back to when we got this medical record, medical examiner's report. My mom, my dad, and I, the same day we got it, the same day they received it at the police station as well, we went to go speak with Officer Cram and Chief Winslow to hear their story, what they saw, and go over this with them. Cram sat us down. It took quite a while. We waited, and I don't know what was going on, but anyway, they brought us out to a room, and I noticed the camera right on the wall as soon as I sat down. Just noticed those things. Cram came in, sat down, asked how he could help. It was my mom, my father, and I. And, well, we're here because we want to go over, let you know we got the medical examiner's report, and we would like to know, what you saw, what, you know, how you experienced all this. And he says, oh, well, let me go get a report. So he leaves to go get a report. You should have known that's exactly what we were there for. It's a small town. He comes back, he sits, and just as he sits down or starts to read, I asked him a question. And he says, I asked him for photos. Did you take photos? He says, yes, there was photos taken. I said, great. My parents don't want to see them, but I would like to. And he says, I need to get permission from the chief. He leaves, comes back with Worcester. And Worcester's all, Chief Worcester was all like defensive right from the beginning. And I found that I could just sense that and feel it. You could see it, you know, and It felt very uncomfortable. He said I wouldn't be able to see the pictures. He said, as a matter of fact, you can't even have a copy of that report. It's still being edited. It's like, yeah, I can understand it's being edited. It's not finalized, but we should be able to have a copy. May I take a picture of it so I can just read it? You know, because it was hard. We had one copy that we're supposed to try to read, my mom, dad, and I. So we're all like, you know, huddling together trying to read this report. We might have got a sentence or two in, and every time we'd start to read, I had a question, so I'd ask a question, and where Worcester came, like, right in my face. He's got his finger pointing, you know, three times. It was like the third strike you're out type thing, yelling at us, me, because I did say a couple of times that he just didn't do his job, but I wasn't barking at him by any means. And I get that I probably shouldn't have said that, but I'm like, you didn't do your job, sir. The third time, we never got any more than probably maybe a paragraph, if we're lucky, of reading this report when Worcester, Chief Worcester, I'm sorry, I don't mean any disrespect, it's just
told us
to get out.
All right.
He told us to get out, don't call, and don't come back.
That aggressive.
Over, I asked for a copy of that
maybe
video.
Maybe the guy's just really insecure about his performance in general.
But in general, I didn't know there was all this craziness going on up there with him and some other people within the force. I had no idea that there was drug problems out on the streets of Bangor, for crying. I lived such a sheltered life. I didn't watch news. I didn't really watch TV. I was really just in my own little bubble. I had no idea what fentanyl was.
Right.
That's awful. I've learned so much. It's disgusting.
It's a terrible,
it's
terrible
so sad.
Thing.
But I had to learn for myself that Chief Worcester was not a very nice person. And here I am, no Klonopin to take, because I don't, you know, obviously I went off that prescription, but man, that was a time I really could have used it. I was so beside myself because he treated us like we were criminals when we went to talk to him about my brother's death.
Yeah, wow. And it's not like you were, like, you might have been in there criticizing him for what you appeared to be is him not doing his job, but you're also like a grieving family.
Yeah,
and
he should have
you guys that you're not allowed to, like, don't call us again, don't come back, is pretty disgusting.
Out of line for sure.
Very out of line. And so you can imagine this is why I have a hard time trusting anyone up there. I don't ever want to be treated like that again. I have a fear.
No, absolutely.
a legitimate fear. We were treated like criminals, and he escorted us out of the police department. And then I had to drive all the way home. I was a nervous wreck by myself. Really was.
Very nervous. Just blows me away. He'd treat you like that.
It was horrible. I've never been treated like that by anyone. And I know I shouldn't have said, you weren't doing your job, sir, but I wasn't being rude. You know, I wasn't barking at him. All right, jump forward. I wanted a copy of the videotape. I contacted Millinocket. Contacted a couple people there at the town office.
Right.
Now, when you say videotape, you mean the body cam footage?
Nope. Oh, that would be nice too, if he had one. Even if he had his own personal one.
They had a camera in the room you were
in the room we were interviewing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Because I wanted to show the whole town how we were treated.
Right.
And guess what? It supposedly, to my understanding, from hearsay, it had 2-week rewrite. Permissions on it, which I totally understand that. It used to be my job way back in the day. My computer technology has gotten horrible now because I'm not in it anymore, but I remember doing that stuff. Somebody went in and messed with the settings, and the rewrite settings were changed to 1 week. It was deleted. It was overwritten.
Oh.
Never got a copy of that video.
Unreal.
However,
how long after did you request it?
Within 2 weeks.
So they definitely would have been able to get it within the 2-week period.
Okay. Yeah. And I was told that I was told officers there had to watch this videotape. And a couple of them said we were treated horribly. They couldn't believe it. So there's other officers that had seen this, how we were treated.
Hmm.
They had to watch it. They got to watch it.
Yeah, they're not all that.
Right. He's a former police chief up there, right?
Right.
Is his sort of bedside manner the reason why he's not a current police chief, or was it just a...
To my understanding, reading newspaper articles and whatnot, he had some problems with some other people there. I think sexual harassment or something, some type of harassment or something going on with, I think, him and the deputy chief. They had some issues. Yeah, and she ended up leaving her job, and she was a wonderful police officer. She was so good for that town. So the Tri-Town area, she was wonderful for that area. And yeah, they lost a good police officer, a good deputy chief.
Now, do we know where he's at now? Is he still employed somewhere else? Or?
To my I don't know. I wish I knew. I don't wish I knew. I have no reason to know, but I mean, you know what I mean?
Wish you had an answer.
I hope I never want to know. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say.
So was there much else in the report that you had there you were reading off? Is there anything else in there you wanted to cover with us?
Okay. So I described as shirtless, or the gentleman that was on, they thought was Robbie, was described as shirtless with a back tattoo, which Robbie does not have a back tattoo. He has a side rib tattoo. And when they found his body, he had 2 sweatshirts, a long sleeve shirt, and a t-shirt on. You know, it just doesn't make sense. It would be my brother. After a minute, the shirtless man put his fist down without using it and got up. The shirtless man helped the man in the blue sweatshirt up, and then they both went inside Robert's residence. Cops never went. They reportedly were called. After speaking with the neighbor, after speaking with Stephen Brown and Stephen Hodge, and after the dogs were removed, a brief search of the residence was conducted. There was no one else present in the residence and no evidence of drug use beyond marijuana. There was also no evidence that Robert was on any medications or had any medical history or a medical provider. The death did not appear to be suspicious.
All right.
I guess I don't see how that doesn't appear to be suspicious if there's no other, like, paraphernalia even in the house. Like
he turned 48
bowls, but
right. He like just turned fentanyl. 48 2 days before, so it shouldn't have been health issues at that age. Natural causes.
I don't know. I'm 48 and I can barely get out of bed, so
I feel that way though sometimes too. I'm older than you.
excuse me. Yeah, like it's weird. There's no sign of anything with fentanyl in it, but yeah, he's gotten his system and he's
marijuana. To be fair, that wasn't until after the fact, right? They wouldn't have known that until after they got the blood work back, but that still should have prompted them to maybe look into it more. To me, at least, that's and I'm not a trained officer for investigating stuff, whatever, but still, if there's no drug stuff in the house, no other drug use other than marijuana and some alcohol in the property whatsoever, and he overdoses solely on fentanyl, short maybe aided by alcohol, whatever they'd claimed in there, like that, how is that not at least slightly suspicious? You know,
I agree.
Fentanyl being
in. You know, but what we could do is we could look at the pictures and then we'd know like if there's any other paraphernalia around, if it wasn't notated in the report.
Right. I'm going to have to really get myself settled, get moved and get on this and get these things that I need to get do. I'm telling you. But there is more that I really feel that you need to know.
Yeah. Okay.
So after he said it didn't appear to be suspicious, he said he made notification of the death to Liz. To Liz at the office of the chief medical examiner at approximately 20:05. Liz advised that Robert could be moved to Lampson Funeral Home and that Robert would be at a medical examiner, would be a medical examiner case because of an apparent lack of medical history. At approximately 2:16, dispatch advised that Robert's mother, Cheryl, was on the phone inquiring. Okay, no, you don't really. That's not all that important. They're just letting my mom know. Well, he did contact the medical examiner's office again. Again, after that one, he said that. Okay, so on Sunday. All right, I'll jump back a little bit more. On Sunday, November 24th, Sergeant Michael Winslow of the Millinocket Police Department followed up with Stephen Hodge and his wife, Cynthia. Sergeant Winslow obtained written statements from Stephen and Cynthia. The statements are attached to this report. I can send you a copy of this, too. I can take pictures and send it to you. All, everything that I've got, you're welcome to it. Cynthia reported that, unrelated to Stephen's earlier statement, she observed Robbie and a man with a dark beard. It's dark out. How can you... wearing a blue sweatshirt. Robbie had a beard and he was found with sweatshirts. I'm telling you, Robbie was on the ground. Somebody was on top of him without a shirt. Cynthia observed a dark blue pickup truck parked in Robbie's yard, and Robert and the man in the blue sweatshirt were loading garbage into the truck. A few days after, or maybe a couple weeks after Rob died, I went up there and took some pictures of the house on the side of the road, and I witnessed a blue pickup truck there with a gentleman putting more garbage bags on the truck, and I followed him. I didn't follow him. He came out. He saw me sitting there. He came out, and as he drove by me, he looked down at me, and I looked up at him. Pretty sure I knew who it was. I said, oh, he must be going to the transfer site. So I headed to the transfer site. It's just out of Millinocket, way up by the airport. And he was nowhere up there yet. So I don't know if he did a loop around to come back around his house and see if I was still sitting there.
Right.
However, on my way back, he was on his way there. I don't know. I just don't know. Sergeant Winslow also spoke to on November 24th. Lives at Penobscot Avenue, who was mentioned previously in this report. Told Sergeant Winslow that he had not observed the altercation reported by the Hodges and had nothing to add to this investigation. That would be the maintenance man and his girlfriend. He checked. There's no other reason. Okay, so this is where it gets interesting too. On Sunday, November 24th, I called the office of the chief medical examiner again and again spoke to Liz. I advised Liz of the information received that seemed to indicate that Robert had been involved in an altercation on the 22nd, November 22nd, the night before he was found deceased. I told Liz that I did not see any evidence that Robert had been assaulted, and I didn't feel that the reported altercation was indicative. In, how do you say that word?
Sorry. Indicative.
Indicative, thanks. Of a suspicious death. Liz said that she would add the information to the file. She also informed me that Robert had already been examined, and the examiner made no reference of injuries or trauma. Said the case would be reviewed by the chief medical examiner on Monday. I was informed, Robbie had talked to some of his friends who let me know that Robbie went up to, harass the neighbors. My brother isn't innocent by any means, but he didn't deserve to die.
Right.
He did not. And he was thrown down their stairs, which is quite the staircase.
How long ago before he passed was this?
The night before. The day before.
The day before he went down the stairs, but they didn't find any bruising on his body from a fight or a tumble downstairs.
Not according to any of these reports.
So very thorough autopsy there.
Right. I don't know why they didn't notice it at the funeral home.
Interesting.
How long was he dead? Did the rigor mortis set in that bad that it just covered, because there is natural bruising in the process. Well,
and they're supposed to take a temperature of the body, unseen.
I wonder. It might. Yes, I'd like to know that too. Well, according to his toxicology, he had the ethanol. He had what's called. Let me go. He has three different types of marijuana in his system. It showed that he had edibles, delta hydroxy 11 hydroxy delta 9 THC. He also had delta 9 carboxy THC and delta 9 THC, along with fentanyl and norfentanyl. I'm definitely going to send you all of this.
I wonder if that is a way that they could have gotten it into his body, is if someone had brought over some edibles for him.
That I was wondering that too, the night before.
They had, right.
I don't like to keep speculating, but you can't help but let your mind just goes there, because the night before is this couple that had moved from out of state to Millinocket that Robbie befriended, and young couple. And Robbie was supposed to watch their cat while they went, which is weird because Thor usually eats small animals. But
that's the dog, right?
So this couple went to, I believe, Bangor to have this child. And Robbie said something had changed. He didn't have to watch the cat after all. They made him a birthday cake. So the last, I don't know, have you heard the message that left my mom on his birthday?
And I wanted to thank you very much for the card and the check there. Having a good birthday, went out for a hike with the pop. But I was going to do a little, roast some steak or something over an open fire in the woods, and then I changed my mind. Come over to my friend's house, they invited me in for pizza, and they made me a freaking birthday cake. So, been a pretty good day, pretty mellow. Getting ready to smoke a big joint, and
that is, Robbie had said that he's like, hi mom, thank you for the gift that she gave him for his birthday, and he's going on telling her about what he was planning on doing for his day. He planned on to go cook a steak out in the woods with the dogs, and then plans had changed. He ran into these friends who made him a birthday cake, and he had pizza with him.
And it was the night that he passed away.
Yeah, the night before they found his body. Because they found his body, I believe, the next morning.
So there's no time of death on the autopsy report?
There is. There should be, yes. sorry, shuffling around all these papers.
And if that's the case, it'd be too bad if they thought they're doing something good by giving him something in his cake. And
I can't help but wonder. Found. All right, date of death. They put on the report 11/23/2019 on or before, and then time of death found at 19:30. They just put found.
They found him at 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, sounds about right, because we got the call my mom called me about 8:30 at night.
That's strange too, because usually they'll say like a time of death or a time frame.
Time of death. It says time of death found, 19:30.
Well, so time of death and found are two different things.
Exactly.
Yep.
Like usually they can look at like the amount of rigor mortis and pooling and everything and body temperature if he was alive throughout the day.
You have some sort of estimate.
I've given these papers copies of everything I've got to internal med doctor who just knows a lot of stuff. And he thought the whole thing was fishy too. And he wanted to know how that fentanyl got in his body. Didn't make sense. He used to work for the medical examiner's office many moons ago too.
And he found it suspicious.
Yeah, I signed a release for him to speak with them. But I don't know. It was just something he was being nice to do on his own time, and I know he's a busy man, so I don't know what was ever done.
That's interesting.
Yeah. There's so much more too, and I know I'm skipping around a lot. And
no, you're doing great.
No, yeah. The whole thing is just really weird.
The whole thing is. It really is. I mean, if I didn't get a call from my brother saying he was worried for his life, I wouldn't be going through this. I would have been like, oh, maybe he was drug seeking. No? But no, it doesn't make sense.
Well, and especially with your brother being pretty obviously upset with the dealers that are all through the town that he thinks are hurting people. Like, it doesn't line up with even him being out there looking for coke. Right. And getting
into fights
over.
He didn't have any reason to use coke, really. I just thought, well, maybe he just wanted some because he wanted to party up on his birthday, you know? He wasn't one that associated bars ever. Uh-huh. His dogs were his life. If he had to go somewhere and the dogs couldn't go, he wasn't going.
Right. Yeah.
The report doesn't say anything about like how the dogs reacted either, right? Which is weird.
No. I guess Luna. I guess the girl dog, Luna, was upstairs, and Thor was downstairs next to Rob, which sounds kind of odd too.
Was she closed into a space, or you don't know?
I would like to know that. Yeah, I would like to know that if the door was actually closed upstairs on her. Because she's the more aggressive one towards people. She is so protective of me. Like, it's crazy.
They are beautiful dogs, and hopefully I can snag a picture of them from you so we can show.
You sure can. Viewers. They are the best. They are the coolest dogs. Robbie was simply amazing raising them. I contacted different town council members. There was two excuse me. Contacted many different council members. I could go back on my things and contacted my mom. Wrote them a letter explaining everything in detail as well. No one did a thing. We have not spoke with anyone about this. No one, you know. And of course, my anxiety has been right. You know, who do I trust? Like I said, you guys are the first people that I've really gotten a chance to speak with. Two ladies from town came to my house in Bradford when I was living there and got a sealed letter that I wrote to Counselor Steve Jaleb. I don't know how his name is pronounced. I haven't heard a word back from him yet.
And it's, you know, some people might think that, well, that's just a family that can't handle that their brother or son passed away and they want to try to blame somebody else for it. But right. there's so many things that point to foul play, you know.
It does.
And then to have the report.
Yeah, like all the altercations correctly. The night before. The fentanyl with no other drug in the house.
Right.
The, like, it just doesn't make sense. And the claims from your brother that if something happens exactly. to him, to that so-and-so needs to be investigated. Right. Like, there's enough there that makes it seem, especially with him having altercations with drug dealers, and his main cause of death is, like, the most dangerous drug that we have in circulation. I don't know how that's not, like... Which he's not known to use.
Not right. at all. And one of the dealers in town, the one that beat him up back in 2018 quite bad, the one I'm going to send you a picture of, the one that recently, you know, died around his birthday, went to one of Robbie's really good friends up in town. And I guess, and this guy doesn't do drugs either. And I guess the dealer pulled out a bag of cocaine, set it on his table, asked him if he would like to do some. The guy's like, no, I don't do that. But he also pulled out a gun. And he says, you need to tell your friend, Robbie, to shut his mouth or such an... And, you know, I can sit there and say this. The guy's dead now. You know, it right. sucks. I wish he was here so he can defend himself. I don't want to even talk about him now because it's just... Oh, Jessica can just say that. Well, no.
He died a year after Robbie passed, right?
Was it almost, it might have been 2 years. It was like right on the anniversary, right about the anniversary of Rob's birthday. It was like, I think he died like November 21st or something.
Okay, and it was a year or two after Rob had passed.
Yeah. Okay. It was last
November. That's strange too.
It's just odd. This is the same guy that was threatening my brother's life with a gun. And, oh, let's back up a little bit. Another interesting fact, Robbie and his dogs were ran over intentionally wow. by a local drug dealer.
Wow.
A few years, my dates are off with this because it was such a shock too, but I did bring him to the hospital eventually to get his leg looked at. And I remember when I was questioned about it, I kept saying it was the right leg, but I think it was the left leg after I kept saying it was the right leg because I was just so discombobbled. But Robbie... Literally, he was walking out to camp. So he was under the underpass in Millinocket. Everybody knows where that is, by KG. And it was snowing, just starting to snow. In the early hours of the morning, heading to camp with the dogs. And that's, they walked a lot all the time. They're always out in the wilderness. And he could hear a car coming. And he could hear it starting to go faster. So Robbie and the dogs went... They're already on the sidewalk. They went up over the snowbank and were walking in the snow to get all the way off that road because he heard them even getting faster and faster. The right. SUV came right up over the snowbank, ran over Robbie and the dogs, back down, did a couple donuts up at the end of the road, and then pulled into where he lives in Kelly, across from Kelly Trailer Park, and parked. The dog, Luna, got a broken leg. Robbie didn't have any insurance. When the ambulance came, the cops came. Robbie didn't want to get in on the ambulance. He didn't have any medical insurance. He wanted to go find right. his dogs because the dogs ran back to KG where it was a safe spot for them because Robbie would tie him out whenever he went into that store. He'd just tie him outside. So that's where he found his dogs. And Robbie's walking with a broken leg trying to get to his dogs. He told the cops, Jesus. He told the LEO that came to... right where to go. He says, you'll see the only tire tracks on the road will take you there. It's the only vehicle since it started snowing. He was right there and he didn't do anything, but he later got fired too. Like a month
that,
later.
That officer yeah. that didn't investigate wow. it?
Yeah. Never investigated. And it was a local drug dealer.
The microphone again.
Fentanyl dealer. A local fentanyl dealer.
How close to the time that Robbie was run over till the time that he passed.
All right, so he died in 2019. I feel like I wish I could remember 20. What's it? My dad died 20. might have been 2017, 2016.
Okay. Yeah. So about so 2 years, 2 or 3 years.
A couple before. Years had gone through, I feel.
Okay.
I'm horrible on dates. And
either way,
he had a
pretty known altercations with the drug dealers.
Yeah.
And this
he intentionally ran them over.
Yeah. And that's what Robbie seemingly ended his life with or died of, right?
Yeah.
So Jessica, and I know we just went through all the different mistakes, but what were some of the mistakes that were made that you feel you need answers to have the closure you need to put Rob to rest?
Well, I don't think it's so much that anymore. It's like I've accepted my brother's death. You know, I can still talk to him. I just don't see him physically. And I know I'm a believer that I'm going to see him again one day. And that's just how I believe. And that helps me get through it. Do I miss him? Right. I miss him dearly. Mm-hmm. I just don't appreciate how nothing was ever done. Like, they didn't feel Robbie was good enough to follow up on it because he didn't have the right name or what? Why? You know, and the treatment that my mom, dad, not so much me, I can handle it, my mom and dad, you know, that's their boy. You just don't treat them like that. That was rude. No. That was, you know, I think everybody just, like, the town manager didn't even do anything. Then the town manager ends up retiring, you know. It's just weird. And now there's a big lawsuit they're bringing back to Millinocket.
For what?
Officer Worcester and John Davis, former town manager, are both suing the town council, some members of the union, Teamsters, a few residents. I've got the documents on my Facebook page, but I really haven't looked too far into it. But yeah, they feel like they were, you know, people were attacking them or something like that.
For sucking at their job?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean.
So
you have also started a petition I saw on change.org for some changes. You want to tell us a little bit about that real quick?
I think that I honestly never knew of fentanyl before. I just didn't know anything about this drug or any of the drugs. Like I said, I didn't even know Bangor had a every city now has a bad drug problem, but I didn't know of them. And I really didn't understand, I guess, all the laws with all this. But I think anybody that is caught with fentanyl needs, you know, that's something that's prescribed to somebody that's passing, that, you know, that usually that has, it's a major pain killer. It's like a morphine, you know, it's
morphine on morphine.
Yeah. It's not made for just the general public to have it. And I think anybody that deals in this shit should be charged with murder. Every single one of them. And I'm kind of embarrassed about how I acted after Rob's death, because I literally that's another thing Officer Worcester had said. He said I was making his job tough. Because of what I post on Facebook. And I can't remember exactly how it went. I know I've got it written down somewhere, but I had said something. I'm like, is that the reason why you requested to follow me? I thought when I got a Facebook request from Craig Worcester, I thought it was because, oh, he's finally going to talk with me and he's going to, you know, try to investigate Rob's thing, because I hadn't heard from him since giving him that statement, as I told you. And this is before he kicked us out. And I obviously deleted him and blocked him after he kicked us out. I was like gone out of my life. But he says, because in that meeting before they kicked us out, that's right. I said, is that why you requested to follow me on Facebook? He says, I don't know who I follow. I'm like, you should, because I know who follows me, because I haven't had Facebook in over 6-7 years, because that stuff is so stupid and it stressed me out, you know? And you requested to follow me. And then I got messages from his then girlfriend saying that they were talking with the neighbors. There's more to it and blah, 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 blah. Give him another chance or something. I don't know. It was so much drama. It's like, I don't have time for this. You know, I just
Wow,
oh, man,
so bizarre.
It's crazy. Robbie didn't.
They were mean to me in my job,
right?
So, is there a dedicated page for Rob Morrison?
There isn't yet. It's I use my own personal Facebook page for Robbie. That's the only reason why I was on, and then of course I get some weird stuff on there too. Just
and then you have a TikTok as well, right?
I do. Yeah, it's just
some stuff on the case.
Yeah. That's what I was starting to say. I'm kind of embarrassed of my behavior because I took it out on every single addict. Like, you're just as responsible for my brother's death.
Right.
That's not fair of me. I learned a lot. I learned to stop being so judgmental. I was quite mouthy and, you know, like a keyboard warrior.
Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate it. Feels good to finally speak.
Yeah.
For others to hear, you know, anybody to hear.
If there's anything we can do to help, you know, please let us know. Even if it's, you know, helping you with the FOIA request through Milwaukee PD or anything like that, we can help you with that.
Thank you.
And we'll... No, go ahead.
I was going to say Milwaukee PD has since been removed. There's no Milwaukee PD anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, it's East Millinocket PD now watches over Millinocket.
They absorbed their case, all their stuff, though, I'm assuming, right?
I guess there was a lot of lawsuits in the town of Millinocket.
I can't imagine why. Yeah. If you can, if you're willing to send that over to us, the police report and the autopsy.
Definitely.
To look through it and see if you see anything as well, but.
I will send that within either tonight or tomorrow morning.
All right. Fantastic.
Wonderful. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes,
thank you very much.
And I'll be in touch.
All right.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
We want to thank Jessica for sharing her brother's story with us tonight. Rob really seemed like a great guy with a lot of compassion and a free spirit. He just wanted to live his life with his two beautiful dogs, but also could not just stand by while some garbage people were trying to infect his community. We can only hope that Rob's case gets the attention that it deserves, and that someone can stand up like Rob did instead of standing by. If you have any more information about tonight's case, please contact the Millinocket Police Department at 207-723-9731. Or the Maine State Police at 207-624-7076, or reach out to us on our Facebook page at Locating the Lost. Also, please consider liking, subscribing, sharing, or following the Facebook page. It's free, and it really helps get the victim stories out there. Now, as a bonus, we actually have a short video of Rob just spending time with his dogs out in the woods. And as always, thanks for listening.
Well, we just made it that last leg of the journey into camp. Sam, this is the ladder going up on the roof. This is 3 weeks after I shoveled it, and it's still way the hell up there. Thor climbed right up on that roof and laid right on the ridge beside that smokestack. That's my little brother Beowulf right there. Can you see him? Thor, you big bug. Yeah, you big roof-climbing bug. I love you. We're out. We're at camp loving life.
Five-year-old Taylor Williams led investigators to Alabama this week.
So we have some breaking news from Florida. An arrest has been made.
Tonight, after years of agony, a glimmer of hope for the family.
Investigators spent hours searching through this house off Pennsylvania Avenue.
What could be a major development in the search for missing Alabama teenager?
Tonight, a stunning twist in the search for Taylor.
Somebody out there knows something.
They want to lay him to rest their way, not by somebody else's way.